Good morning. It's good to see Nathaniel. I know he lives way down in Lakeland, or is that way up? That's way down in it, south of us. Shows you I've never been there before. But it's good that he's here. And for those of you who noticed, Taylor helped serve the Lord's Supper this morning. Good job, Taylor. His pop's over there shaking his head proudly. But it's wonderful to see everybody here. Many are gone. I know some are working today. But it's wonderful that those of you who are here are here. Now, I hope you listened to our reading this morning. You know, a lot of times when we read James 5, 1 through 6, we kind of just speed over it, thinking, that's nothing to do with us. God is talking about rich people who are taking advantage of the poor. And let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been to a poor country? And I wish Charlie were here. Charlie's been to the Philippines, and I would have loved to ask Charlie what he saw. Now, I've been to Jamaica, and I'm sure some of you have been to Jamaica too. And that's a poor country. You know, when they look at Americans, do you know what they see? What they see? Rich people who are rich while they are poor. If you want a very eye-opening adventure, visit a poor country. Compared to most of the world, I hope you heard that word most. Americans are filthy rich. You probably never thought of yourself as rich, did you? You might have even thought of yourself as poor. We have more things that I would say most of the world combined. We Americans are rich people. And yet, even in our country, a country full of comfort, full of plenty, but there are even in America people who have nothing. Particularly this year, I have even noticed in Apopka that the homeless population has grown. I don't know if you even notice things like that, but I see much more homeless people walking around Apopka now than I did just for 2 years ago. Yes, we are rich. And with richness comes responsibility. Now, we may not wish to hear about responsibility. We may not wish to hear that we are rich when we think of ourselves as the opposite. But where there is responsibility, where there is blessing, there is responsibility, isn't there? And it's amazing. The richer we are, what do we tend to do a lot of? Complain. Because there are still things we think we need, we wish we had. We complain. When I was in Jamaica, I did get to visit some of the Christian families. And it's amazing. They still fed us Americans wonderful. The meals they gave us. Do you remember those, Ruth? They had almost nothing themselves, but somehow they managed to get a feast for the Americans when they came to visit. And I must say, I can't remember them complaining too much. They were just thankful that we were there. And I think they gave from their poorness to us who were rich. Yes, visit a poor country. If you want to know just how poor you really are, visit a country that's poor. And you don't have to go far. There is Jamaica, or even Mexico. Parts of Mexico are poor. Even Jesus had a heart for the poor. Matthew 19:21, you probably know this story very well. Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, then go and sell your possessions and give the money to the poor. If you do this, you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." Now listen to verse 22. "But when the young man heard this, he left sorrowfully because he was rich." When we think of that story, we think of the rich man, don't we? Now let me ask you a question. If Jesus came in here this morning and said, "Do you want to be my disciples?" I'm sure we would all say, "Yes." What if he said, "Now go, sell your house, sell your car, sell your possessions, give the money to the poor, and then come follow me and be my disciples"? How many of us would be like this young man and go away sorrowfully? Think honestly. Or what Jesus, or what James said in chapter 2 of the book of James, in verse 5 and 6. James says, "Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. God chose the poor in the world to be rich with faith and to receive the kingdom God promised to those who love him. But you show no respect for the poor." Do we not tend to judge people by their clothes, by their possessions? Do we not tend to look and say, "Oh, they're not dressed very well. Maybe they'll sit in the back. Maybe they'll leave quickly. Maybe they won't ask us for help"? Have you ever felt that way or thought that way? And why do you think the poor are those that God has chosen to be rich in faith? You ever thought about that? Why can the poor be rich in faith, but the rich have troubles in faith? Apparently, wealth and comfort can be perilous. They can distract our attention from more important things. Throughout the Bible, wealth is often equated with wickedness, isn't it? And poverty with goodness. Wealth has such great power, not only to provide comfort, but to corrupt us with greed. Our drive for more may lead us to mistreat those who have less. Poverty, on the other hand, may allow us to look at things in a different way. May allow us to go beyond today to find a wealth in faith and the promise of a hopeful future. Because when it gets down to it, what do the poor have to look forward to? The riches of heaven. You know, we've all heard that joke. You know, this man asked Peter if he could bring his gold to heaven. And Peter, after a while, gave in and said, "Okay." And then he turned around and asked the angel behind him, "Why does he want to bring pavement to heaven?" You probably heard of that joke. But yet, what do we think, or what maybe do we hope will happen at our death? Can I take my plasma television with me? Or you know, I don't know, what things are important to you? I think for everybody that's something different. But you know, what's the Bible teach? You brought nothing into this world, and you can take nothing with you. And yet, we tend to want to do what? Gather things here and now, and think that's important. Having much, we want more. Having nothing, we learn to be content. And does God notice our view of wealth? Does God care? Does God perceive the poor in their circumstances? Let's go ahead and read 1 Timothy chapter 6. I like to read verse 6 to 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Serving God does make us very rich if we are satisfied with what we have. Just that verse alone, scary, isn't it? We brought nothing into the world, so we can take nothing out. But if we have food and clothes, we will be satisfied with that. Will we? Those who want to become rich bring temptation to themselves and are caught in a trap. They want many foolish and harmful things that ruin and destroy people. The love of money causes all kinds of evil. Some people have left the faith because they wanted to get more money, but they have caused themselves much sorrow. And toward the end of his life, when we read the verse, Paul said, I brought nothing into this world, or we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out. Paul was talking about his being content what he had. Most of us have far, far more food and clothing than we really need, don't we? We have food to spare, and we have food we like. Now, I can remember as a kid, and I don't think I really understood back then, but we had a lot of fried bologna sandwiches when I was a kid. We had a lot of beans and cornbread when I was a kid. And I always wondered why. I liked those things. Not to say I don't like them. But other kids talked about eating steaks. And I always wondered why we had so few of that. But we have food to spare. As a matter of fact, the food we throw out each and every day would probably help to feed those who have nothing. Are we not wasteful? Do we not tend to make much more than we need? Just to have to throw it out. Now, if you have a dog, the dog can eat it. I think, and I mean this honestly, I think our dogs in America eat better than most people in poor countries. And I'm saying that because I want to shame us. Because God cares about the poor. What about clothing? Some of you think, Monty, stay away from clothing. Clothing. Go to your closet. Go to your dresser. There's a lot in there, usually, isn't there? How much of it do you wear regularly? And how much sits there sometimes for months, years? And you never wear it? Maybe once every so often? Has God blessed us? Has God blessed even those of us who think we're poor? I think He has. God cares about the poor. He cares about the riches that He has given us. He cares about what we do with those riches. And He watches. Because who is the one who has blessed us with those riches? Paul said, contentment. We need to learn to be content. Do you think Paul was born being content with everything in life? Paul said, I learned. Let's go ahead and read that. So it's Philippians 4. Philippians 4, and I'm going to read verses 10 to 14. Philippians chapter 4. 10 through 14. I am very happy in the Lord that you have shown care for me again. You continue to care about me, but there was no way for you to show it. See, did Paul need at times help financially? I think he did. I've been on the mission field, and I know how little sometimes our brethren expect missionaries to live. I know about that. But he says to the Philippians, I know that you cared about me, but you never had a chance to do anything. There's no way for you to show it. Verse 11, I am not telling you this because I need anything. I have learned to be satisfied with the things I have and with everything that happens. He has learned to be content with what God has given him. Some people get more, some people get less. But Paul was content and satisfied. I know how to live when I am poor. And I know how to live when I have plenty. See, there's something we should know about having little. And there's something we need to learn about having much. I have learned the secret of being happy at any time in everything that happens. When I have enough to eat, and when I go hungry. When I have more than I need, and when I do not have enough. And he says, I can do all things through Christ, because he gives me strength. But it was good that you helped me when I needed it. Paul was thankful for their help. But Paul knew contentment even when he did not have food. He said, I know what it is to be hungry. Let me ask, do we know what it's like to be hungry? Truly to be hungry? When I was at Christian Home and Bible School, I'm not going to say when that was, but it was way back in 1978. It might have even been 77 when this family came. But a family came to the home, and of course they would come to the school. And they were telling me, not the kids, but the people who care for those children. He goes, you know, they came and they got a big breakfast and the kids ate. And then lunchtime came. The kids didn't show up. And then later that evening, the evening came and the kids didn't show up. Because at that time you had to eat in the cafeteria. It was before they started eating in those homes. And they finally found the kids and they said, why didn't you come to the meals? Oh, you mean we get more than one a day? Those kids at their home had been used to one meal a day. And at the school, wow, we get 3 meals a day here. They learned quick, though. They learned quick. But Paul says, you can learn to be content with what you have. You can learn to be content with anything that God sends your way. Now don't get me wrong. Money is necessary, isn't it? Could we even live without money? Not very easy. We need money because it's not really optional. We have to have food and shelter. And unfortunately in our society, that's the way to get food and shelter, isn't it? You got to have money. Money is also fun. For those of you who like to go bowling, like to go to the chicken suppers at the school, those who might like, you know, to get together and go fishing, you need money to do those things too. So money can be fun. Life is much more comfortable and pleasant when the dollars are flowing. And I'm thankful for money. I'm thankful that you know, I don't have to live out on the street. But money can also be dangerous. It can be a distraction, diverting our attention from things that are truly important. Can it not? Sometimes we get so involved in money and things, we tend to ignore our own family, don't we? Our children. Our friends and neighbors. The more we gain, the more we tend to want. Compared to forever, This green stuff is really not worth much, is it? Why? Because money is a currency of time. It makes things more agreeable here. It is the ticket that takes us where we want to go, anywhere on this planet. But this planet is only temporary. God has better plans for us. We are people with a future, a good future. We can plan for that future, and we can invest in our future here on earth. But if we get too comfortable in the here and the now, we tend to put heaven on a back burner, don't we? We tend to put all things religious on a back burner. We may become so preoccupied with all the good stuff we have in this world that we may even forget about tomorrow. And that forever will come. And when it comes, sometimes it's too late. Remember Paul's words in 1 Timothy 10:10. He said, "The love of money causes all kinds of evil. Some people have left the faith because they wanted to get more money, but they have caused themselves much sorrow." You know, it's funny. The richest man in the world, at that time I'm talking about, was they made a movie about him. His name is gone. Howard Hughes, that man died lonely, and you would have thought a pauper the way he lived. But he was the richest, wealthiest man in the world. Sorrow. There is something else about money that is important for us to know. Money that I hoard for my own comfort without sensitivity to those who have less, talks to God. You ever think about that? The money spent only on me complains of my selfishness, and God listens. James 5:4-5. "The pay you did not give the workers who mowed your fields cries out against you, and the cries of the workers have been heard by the Lord all-powerful. Your life on earth was full of rich living and pleasing yourself with everything you wanted. You made yourselves fat like an animal ready to be killed." When you approach Jesus, do you want to hear those words? "Your life on earth was full of rich living and pleasing yourself and with everything you wanted." Do you want to hear God say, "You made yourself fat like an animal ready to be killed"? You might say James is referring here to these rich people who refuse to pay their workers a proper salary. And he is. But God has always cared for the poor. The laws in the Old Testament, many of those laws were designed to do what? To care for the poor. You know, they were not supposed to harvest the corners of their fields. It was against the law, but they did. They were not to go over their crops a second time. They were to leave the corners, and they were to leave the portions that they missed the first time for the poor and for people who were passing through their country. Because God cares about the poor. And one of the reasons that God blesses us is that we might think on those who have less. This is Ephesians 4, verse 28. Paul is telling them, if you are stealing, stop stealing. Listen to this. It says, "Those who are stealing must stop stealing and start working." Now, if he had ended there, we might not think anything more about it. But Paul goes on. "They should earn an honest living for themselves." Once again, if we stop there, we would think, oh, understandable. But it's this next sentence that gets us. Because then they will have something to share with those who are poor. Why did Paul want those people to get work? That they could support themselves and that they would have something to share with those who are poor. So what do you think Paul is expecting and what God is expecting of people who work? To share with the poor. Not only were Christians to earn an honest living, they were to share with the less fortunate. Whether it be widows or orphans or those who have lost their jobs in this bad economy, God is concerned with the poor. And do you know, God even said, of course, first must come who? Your own. The family of God must be seen to first. Galatians 6:10. When we have the opportunity to help anyone, we should do it. But we should give special attention to those who are in the family of believers. Yes, money talks to God. God watches how we use money. He watches with great attentiveness. You see, money is a gift from God. A gift to make our life more manageable, even more pleasant. But God also gives money to us that we might improve life for others. Not to hoard it selfishly, but to use it responsibly and to share. If God expects us to share, imagine how angry He becomes when we take advantage of the poor. Let's listen to the words of James once again in chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. You rich people, listen. Cry and be very sad because of the troubles that are coming to you. Your riches have rotted and your clothes have been eaten by moths. Your gold and silver have rusted, and that rust will be proof that you were wrong. It will eat your bodies like fire. You saved your treasure for the last days. And where are their treasures? Destroyed, burned up, rusted, eaten by moths. I don't want the last words you hear to be, you were rich in the life that I gave you on earth, but you used everything for your own pleasure. You used everything to get what you wanted. You made yourselves fat like an animal ready to be killed. I'm going to read, this is 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. He's talking to Christians here. In 1 John chapter 3, 17 and 18, he says, suppose someone has enough to live and sees a brother or sister in need, but does not help. Then God's love is not living in that person. My children, we should love people not only with words and talk, but by our actions and true caring. Have you ever seen a brother or sister who needed help and didn't do anything because you expected someone else to do something? I think it's happened a lot. I know I'm guilty of that too at times. Think about what matters most. Is it money? Is it cool clothes? Because money will disappear one day. Clothes tend to go out of style. That new computer you bought yesterday, in 3 years it's outdated and will probably start failing. Cars you buy, they fall apart. But what is never forgotten? What are things that God will remember in eternity about your life on earth? You think it's going to be that garden You think it's going to be those nice clothes you wore, the jewelry you had? I think those things will be forgotten. I think what God looks for are things like love, friendship, kindness. These will last forever. Your soul is of great importance to God. Your soul will live on in eternity. But your body? Your body will turn to dust. The mountains will fall and burn away. Earth will disappear. The galaxies will be rolled up and destroyed. The Bible teaches that time itself, as we know it, will end. Isn't it astounding that the truly important things live on forever? We mentioned them. Your soul, the love, the friendship and kindness that you show during your life. Your trust in God will last forever. Your faith in God will outlast Mount Everest. We think of these huge mountains and we think how old they are and how mighty they are. They'll be destroyed. But your faith in God will last forever. So what lasts? Love, friendship, generosity, kindness, the good that we do, motivated by selfless concern, will never be forgotten by God. Jesus said, Matthew 6, 20 and 21, I'm going to go ahead and read 19 through 21. Don't store up treasures for yourself here on earth, where moths and rust will destroy them, and thieves can break in and steal them. But store your treasures in heaven, where they cannot be destroyed by moths or rust, where thieves cannot break in and steal them. Your heart will be where your treasure is. Where have you been storing your treasures? If you want to start storing your treasures in heaven, I'm going to ask you to come this morning. But the very first treasure that you need to save and put in a safe place is your soul. If you have lost your soul, you have lost everything. So if you have not yet been baptized and washed away your sins, if you have not yet begun storing up the treasures that count in heaven, then this is the morning to do it. Because your soul, there's nothing more precious. Will you not come as we stand and sing our invitation song?